Hello, and welcome to This Might Be The News. My name is Rory, and this week I am joined by my friend Sophie.
Hiya.
For fans of the Mallorca car park episode, they will be pleased to know that this is a follow-up, a cousin to that episode. This is Rory and Sophie in a van in Devon.
I like to call it pillow talk.
Pillow talk with Sophie and Rory.
We're lying down, which is, I think, the first time we've ever done a podcast lying down.
You've been watching me. I'm really struggling to get comfy, aren't I?
I know, it's annoying me because it is an absolute delight in the back here.
So you kind of live in this van, don't you?
I mean, on off, but yet again, we are at another wedding.
I mean, is this our fourth wedding this year?
I think so. It's getting a bit out of hand, really. But congratulations to the gorgeous Ed and Rachel.
It was a really good one, wasn't it?
It was an absolute corker of a wedding.
Yeah.
Everyone was very loose.
Yep. I've not seen sort of a crowd that boozy that early.
It was riotous at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
Every drink was half full because it was usually over.
Yeah, I was showered in gin.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, it's like the old days of Rome.
But yeah, it's Ed did the first podcast ever, didn't he?
He did the week before we Brexited.
So, yeah.
So yeah, congratulations, Ed and Rachel. But anyway, we've got news to cover, Sophie. We can't just be leisurely
the whole time.
So we've got the facts to cover.
Facts.
The facts. So it's not Brexit. It's not Catalonia. We'll never do that. Catalonia.
No, I think that's, yeah. Let's not get involved.
It's
no sense of social responsibility.
They don't need us weighing in. There's enough people debating that one. So, Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
So the monster. The monster of Hollywood. So every week I kind of, like, when we're doing it with the prep, I'll, like, message you kind of with a theme.
Oh, damn, this is going to be so embarrassing, this.
But it is funny because it's so I just messaged you saying Harvey Weinstein.
I thought you were mentioning someone who was on my table at the wedding.
Yeah, you replied just going, ha ha ha, ridiculous name. Who's that? And I'm like,
it's awful.
And I'm like, go to a news agent. He is on the front page of every paper.
I've been listening to Radio 4 that morning as well, and I didn't hear him.
They washed over it. So anyway, Harvey Weinstein. Whenever I watch a film and I see the Weinstein Company at the beginning, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good one.
Yeah. Well, they've had like 300 Oscar nominations and then 180.
That's a really good amount of Oscars.
Yeah.
But I associate the name with high quality cinema and like it's going to be a good film. I think they did The Artist.
Did they? Yeah, that's a great film, yeah.
That's a good one. I think they did the Tarantino movies.
Yeah.
But
Shakespeare in Love.
But it's turned out he is just awful, isn't he?
Yeah, really gone sour.
What's been going on? What's happened?
Well, basically he's been accused of kind of rape. I think there's a lot of allegations on and off the record, anonymous and otherwise. But big names have come forward, which obviously brings it into the foreground of what we know.
Yeah.
The press. But like Angelina Jolie, you've got like Gwyneth Paltrow.
Name. Yeah.
Rose McGowan, who I actually don't know, but she was the big name on the list.
The list runs out quite quickly. Cara Delevingne.
Yeah, I think that was like not as big as the other ones, as in like, I think that it was a little thing. They're all massive things, really. Like
none of it's acceptable.
No, and there's that whole thing. So Emma Thompson's given an overview almost of how. Like sexism within.
Yeah, and so do you know how it started? Because do you know about the whole, like, the police wire and stuff?
I think I briefly read about it. Recap for me.
So there's this 22-year-old actress. Can't remember her name, but Google it.
Yeah.
And I really should know that. Fact number one is missing. And basically, he groped her and did his whole, you're going to take us...
I definitely have an understanding to his tactics.
You're going to take us through the tactics, but he tries the tactics on her. She's like, this is unacceptable. She goes to the police. They're like, put on a wire, go meet him again, see if he does it. He didn't really do it. He's probably onto it or something. He's probably what, Weinstein, the monster.
Interestingly, here, she went to the police, and it just really shocks me that lots of these people... I mean, it doesn't shock me, because I know that... But it does shock me, actually, that this is only coming out now.
I know, because it sounds like it's been going on for decades.
Yeah.
And, so she goes back and comes back with some recording, which is quite damning, where she does reference the whole, like, you basically groped me yesterday. Why did you do that? And he acknowledges it. And whilst I don't think that's enough on its own to act on, it's led to all these women coming forward. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, the story started to get some real weight behind it. It should have and did have weight anyway, but when Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina Jolie sort of at the same time spoke to the New York Times, and then I think Brad Pitt confirmed, I think Brad Pitt had...
Well, Gwyneth Paltrow, when she was with Brad Pitt,
Pitt apparently like went to Weinstein, you know, you fuck off, basically.
Yeah, well, it's funny, isn't it? Because, like, I mean, I mean, generally an overview, like, I've got big opinions about this in terms of it, like, people saying stuff and not saying stuff. But I feel like we should probably take everyone through, you know, what he was doing and how he was going about it.
What's his playbook?
Well, I know, like, everyone's got different pulling techniques in life, haven't they? Like, when I was younger, I used to do, I was about 16, 17, I worked out a good tactic where you went in for a hug, pulled away from the hug, and then you could go for a snog.
Yeah.
Like, do you have any techniques?
I do the finger point dance until someone comes my way.
Yeah, which is a hip movement and a finger point there, right?
Absolutely. Sometimes a thrust if it's getting near 2 a.m. Yeah. still thrusting.
Do you think it changes as you get older? Has it changed? You've got different techniques now.
It's a timeless move.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. But I'd say mine probably differ from Weinstein's.
Yeah. So what seems interesting is in reading a lot of cases, because there are seemingly, you know, not hundreds, but I think I read about maybe 25 cases in like...
Oh my God.
At least like 15 in one article. I'm probably exaggerating there, everyone, just in case anyone wanted more facts.
Yeah.
But still, a lot. But the sort of key things, I would say, is A, he's in a bathrobe.
Right, that's a consistent theme throughout.
A lot of the...
He likes a Radox.
He's in a bathrobe. He's usually in a hotel room.
Right.
And he usually suggests massage.
Right.
So either he needs to get himself a personal masseuse, which maybe would have really saved him all the trouble here.
Yeah, I mean, that's
but that seems to be like his equivalent of my hug and snog. But instead
put on the bathrobe, yeah, get the massage oils out.
So I think he's basically he invites a lot of these actresses to his hotel room for whatever reason, to sign contracts,
business
or
meetings.
To, yeah, exactly. They arrive and he's in a bathrobe, and he basically says, "Will you give me a massage?" And
oh my God.
Some of them say, I think a lot of them have kind of said no. I think in one instance, he chased this woman around the room.
Oh, like a Benny Hill.
I mean, it's awful. And I think I think a lot of them have happened like film festivals, and then he's kind of said, look, this is what everyone does. Hmm. And I'm gonna have an effect on your career and things like that. He's kind of said as a line, like, they're all consensual. Like, that's his, like, press line.
Everything was consensual.
Yeah. Although I then read another thing, I don't know if it was in The Guardian or something, but where the last time he was seen, he said to a reporter, "We all make mistakes." Now, if you're saying we all make mistakes, he knows he's made a mistake, but then he's saying it's consensual, which essentially wouldn't be a mistake. So
no.
It's kind of crosswise for me there.
Well, did you read his press statement that he made, where he said sort of, "I was a child of the 60s and 70s and things were different then."
That definitely makes it better, yeah.
Like, the world that I come from is, yeah, where that was the norm.
Oh, fair play then.
I mean, that's basically it's, saying...
It's so mad. And it's, right, so it's funny. So, like, obviously without saying anything, but I work with someone who's worked with him. And said what a massive, like, force he was, and how he just literally ruled by bullying. And that's what seems to come across. I think in this article, there was someone that used to work for Miramax and was like she was assaulted. And she kind of mentioned it to other people, and people, no one said report it or anything like that. But
really?
You get the sense that he was this huge bully. And what was funny, the person I was speaking to said that his brother is also like a massive bully. Like, his brother was racist.
God.
But his brother's turned around and gone, he's sick and depraved.
Yeah.
Which I find interesting, feeling like I know that they're both almost similar.
Yeah.
And that his brother's all said, I didn't know the extent of it. And it's like, if you didn't know the extent of it, you still knew that something was going on.
You knew a bit of it, and a bit of it still sounds very massagey, naked chase scene.
Not cool, like, at all.
Well, do you ever watch The Thick of It?
Yeah.
So Peter Capaldi, back in the day, said that Harvey Weinstein was one of the characters he based Malcolm Tucker on.
Oh my God.
Which sort of brings it to life. So I think you can kind of understand in I think a lot of people would have known he is a monster because that's how he is. It sounds like he's a scary fucker, like just in general. He's like one of these classic Hollywood, like shouting down the phone and
screaming, and
all that. And so you can imagine a lot of people just going, "Well, that guy seems like an asshole."
He's so disgusting looking as well. Like, yeah. But I mean, and that doesn't maybe. But what I find so annoying and angers me so much,
right,
yeah, is the fact that no one. I don't care in life. I don't care who you are or what you're doing. You stand up for your. Not like I don't want to say you stand up for yourself, but you people should be aligned and together and standing up for just human rights and being fair. Like someone having a massive company and earning loads of money doesn't mean that they should speak to anyone in a particular way, and it shouldn't be like, oh
yeah, it's an absolute abuse of his position, and I'm really surprised it's happening in 2017. Yeah. It feels like something you'd see in like a film like about the 70s.
Yeah.
So that it's still going is alarming, and I think is a little insight into sort of, we've got a long way to go.
A long way to go, and I think it needs to be nipped in the bud as it goes. I'm on a job at the moment, and there was an incident that happened on this job where one of the top people spoke really badly to me. And I remember thinking, even though like they're top, they shouldn't be shouting at me. And it's like, I've never been spoken to like that. Mm. But there was still this part of me which I was like, oh, I can't really answer back to you immediately. However, they ended up apologising to me, and partly because my boss had said, you have to apologise. But I remember being like, no, it's unacceptable. I don't care how high up you are. I don't know how much, you know, however much power you have, you don't speak to people badly. Now, I'm talking about that in the sense that it needs to be stopped. And so when this was all going on, yes, hopefully times are changing now. It's the whole thing back to Emma Thompson. You'd hope that if you are a woman and you're put in that position, you have to be strong and stand up for it and go, no, this is unacceptable. And I know that some of the accusations were like rape and things, and I think that's a whole other ball game when it's really like when it's really happened to you and that's really serious. But if they're just like small things, I think more people should have stood up for him within the companies.
It must be easier said than done, though, because we're talking about some very strong, inspiring women here, who have felt so scared and uncomfortable that it's taken them years to come out.
No, I mean, the serious cases, absolutely. But there must be, I'm talking even from just like a base level, like everyone in his office, whether, you know, if they didn't have that, they still would have known what he was like and how the way he speaks to people.
My guess is that out of this, it's Hollywood is fundamental. This is endemic the word? I've just said it. It's a word. Anyway, I think this is exactly, everyone is scared of this guy. It's probably the norm. There's probably other people that are like this. This is what Emma Thompson was saying. Other people like this. The whole thing's it's related to the pay gap for women actresses versus men.
Yeah.
But
that's interesting. Yeah.
That's huge. Hollywood's still a male thing. It's still a man's world. We've got a long way to go.
Yeah. It's just like, if you're put in that position, I mean, I don't, it's, I find it, even in my job, like working in television, there's sexism that happens every day, and there's like so much of it goes on. And I remember one time, like an actress was in a costume. I think she was dressed as like a schoolgirl, and one of the electricians turned around and went, "Oi, oi, like, do you want to come sit on my lap at lunchtime?" And she didn't say anything, and she told me, and I was like, "Who the hell was this?" So I literally went up to this like 65-year-old bloke.
Yeah.
And was like,
"What did you say?"
I was like, "I heard you were shouting across the cantina earlier at one of the actresses." And he was like just shrugged. And I was like, "You never speak to anyone like that. That was rude and that was out of order. And if you're going to, I will report you to production if you're going to carry on being like that. It's disgusting." Like, and he's like, "Oh, everything's changed." And I'm like, "Yes, everything's changed. And stop being a knobhead."
About fucking time everything's
changed. But I think it's about people standing up for each other.
I hope you enjoyed the glory days.
The glory days of sexism and,
hope you made the most of those and were as pervy as you could be.
I find it horrible. It's like, but I think I'm quite vocal. I don't think there's other people, I look around and they're not as vocal because they're worried about it. And I think people need to be less worried about that and more.
I have seen, though, on social media, it seems a backlash on sort of any man that's tried to be supportive of these women. It seems now that we're in 2017, there's like the post-millennial approach of whatever, of how we respond to things. Any man that's kind of said this is unacceptable, or like, they've been everyone's had a go at being like, how could you relate? And people, anyone who said, oh, but yeah, like these women are our mothers and daughters and sisters, and women have said that shouldn't be the reason. I think it's like more people are just trying to find something to say to acknowledge that they don't agree with this.
Yeah.
But people like, I think Matt Damon's been jumped on. Maybe it's because actually Matt Damon should have known about this and should have got involved. But
well, I think it's that whole thing of like not saying anything, head down, and like, do you know, it's too much trouble. And I'm a bit like, no, like, and this can be changed. That's what I'm trying to relate it to, is every day this can be changed. It's that same thing of if there's an accident, like on the high street, are you someone that goes over and helps, or, you know, are you someone who's just going to walk on by and carry on your life? Yeah, it's the same thing with this.
Totally.
It's like, take some social responsibility to like back people up, and even if it's not your fight, help someone fight for it. Like, I just think there's so many people that just go, oh, I'm not going to do that because it's not worth it.
And yeah, it's like I said, it's easier said than done. But if everyone just once in a while did the thing you did, would shout at the builder or whatever. if we all just channeled a bit of that, then we might make some progress here. But it is about speaking out, and it's about putting yourself in uncomfortable situations.
Yeah, and I think that's the crux of it. I don't mind confrontation, I'm sure you guys would gather that.
Whereas you can probably tell I don't love it.
I hate
confrontation. And so whilst like I'm a big, I mean, I like to think I haven't got a problem myself. And I will, like, someone that I feel I can say, you shouldn't speak like that.
I enjoy, anyway, I think we've only had a couple of arguments in our lifetime of knowing each other, but most of them me being like, Rory, this is out of order, and you just being like, oh, yeah.
I suppose it is. I'm not
one. It's, like you said, it's a character thing, well, and it's easier said than done for some people.
I'm going to try and be better, though, but to be fair, I'm not that exposed to it. Maybe I'm lucky. But
no, maybe I am a little bit,
but luckily I work in an environment where it's there isn't an issue, and it's great. But I will be now looking out on the street if I hear anyone shouting, oi, darling, give us a smile, what's wrong? And, I will
jump on them round the neck.
I will get that glove. I'll get the, what is it? You get the glove out and slap them in the face.
Glove.
It's the challenge them to a duel in the olden days.
Is that what they do? Yeah.
If we're gonna be chauvinist, we do 15th century chauvinism.
No, I think it would be cool if everyone started taking a little, like, fighting for other people sometimes, not all the time, but
yeah, or at least if you're going to be an arsehole, be gender agnostic and be an arsehole to everyone.
I think it's very hard to stand up.
But that's all we've got time for, Soph. We've really run over there, but it's an interesting story. I think it could be a bit of a Savile.
I think
Savile then unraveled a load of other things.
Yeah.
I think it might, and I hope it does, if it means things improve.
Yeah, and I think it's going to snowball a sense of what is acceptable and not acceptable. So hopefully what Emma Thompson's saying about those other companies, that it's rife still, hopefully now it will be looked upon as publicly not okay, which is sad that it's had to come out this late in the game.
But we've all got our lives ahead of us.
Let's keep fighting, guys.
Thanks, Soph. Task Force. Very appropriate Task Force this week, because me and you are lying in a bed, aren't we?
Oh my God, yeah, and I've got pins and needles.
I was going to say, like,
I'm just going to have a little switch around.
This is a great listening experience. Can you just itch me? So Sophie converted her van into like a live-in van. And has
it's a camper van, yeah. Yeah, it's not like a work van.
No, it was a work van, and then you've turned it into a lovely kind of live-in thing. I mean, there's a lovely comfy mattress on it.
That's new. That was the first night I slept in it last night. And it was absolute delight.
Makes it very appropriate. People walking past this van must think something weird's going on.
Oh, no, blacked out windows.
Oh, fantastic. It's like my feet are just waving in the air, like like I'm being massaged by Weinstein. But
all you're missing is a robe, and I've got one somewhere.
So I've had a call from, oh God knows, didn't think about this, but from this doctor who's really into studying sleep.
Yeah,
sleep is in at the moment, like people are talking
about. Is it not in, like, because it happens all the time,
but like sleep theory, the importance of sleep, the benefits of good sleep on your health.
Do you think it now, because as you get older, do you think the more you sleep, the better you look?
I've never thought about that idea, about the more I sleep, the better.
Because I've recently, like, discovered, getting older, that I'm not in any way superficial and kind of don't care what I look like to a degree.
Yeah.
But I've definitely been getting some, like, bags under my eyes, and I've been like, right, I need to get the sleep, because it does actually make a difference.
Yeah, so the findings recently have been that if you sleep, basically, the more you sleep, the longer you live. Getting your 8 hours is important, and getting some sort of the stuff that fights cancer and other diseases and keeps your immune system up, that comes from you getting 8 hours. And
you're picking 8 hours out because there's lots of different theories about how many hours you should have.
Oh, well, this is the thing. So he's asked me to look into, he said, right, the finding is sleep's super important. Go find someone.
Sleep's super important.
Sleep's super important, guys. So
I don't want you to have so much sleep so you feel really fresh, okay?
Yeah. So here we go. So he said, go find someone who's really good at sleep, because I'm terrible at sleep. Go find someone who's good at sleep and ask them for their tips. Now, you strike
Enter Sophie.
You strike me as someone who's very good at sleep.
I'm like, I would say, like, if I was a mastermind, sleep and parallel parking would be my two things.
I think I witnessed some parallel parking earlier as well, so this is a real masterclass.
And Sophie's, I've got a long wheelbase. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's the bloody van. So
that's so I could have more bed. That's the only reason I bought a long wheelbase, so I could get more bed.
That's, I mean,
more bed for your buck.
Tip number one. Do you think the size of the bed?
Absolutely.
Really, the bigger the better.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think I'm a pencil sleeper, which is what I call. I tell my friends this.
Yeah.
So I sort of, hands by your side, straight down. So I like to think I'm not an inconvenience if you're going to pop me in your bed.
Okay.
But I do think a big bed's nice, even if you just sleep on half of it.
Okay.
And then you've also got, like, it's nice to have friends and visitors and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It is. Yeah. So talk me through your routine.
What, my routine for sleep? So, yeah, I would say for me, I get a bit obsessed with it, but 7.5 is what I really like to have every night. That will keep me in great mind and body.
Yeah.
Because I think the less sleep you have, like, everything descends a bit. Like, your mental state and how you look at the world changes quite drastically. And sometimes my work permits me to not have that much sleep, which, and I can see myself deteriorating throughout the week if I'm, you know, burning the candle.
Yeah.
And so often I can, you know, I just think, like, you just feel better. You can make more decisions, better decisions. But when you say my routine.
Yeah, like, how do you get to sleep?
I literally just lie down and then I fall asleep. But
oh, dear.
I can't believe that you that doesn't. I think that people can get people get wound up about it. And I think that you think about it, don't you?
I fall asleep quite easily, but I have bad sleep. I have a low quality sleep. Mine is, like, if it was an internet connection, it would be Devon based and up a hill. It was.
But you have quite a lot of you have quite a lot of requirements of sleep. Like, all I need is a living room floor and some sort of towel over me. But you need what, an eye mask?
A
fan on your face.
I have an electric fan that I've been using since I was 8 years old. That,
that makes you so chilly if you're sleeping next to you.
Yeah.
You just get the remnants of this air that comes.
So you put the eye mask on, because that's like tucking in my face.
Yeah. It's like...
tuck the face in. Then, the fan goes on, and it's like a cool breeze.
Like a child, though. Like, I think when we were in another wedding earlier this year, I remember putting you to bed and just being like, tucking you up in bed and being like, oh, I'll just go grab the fan from the other room.
the fan has to come on holidays. So that's it. But I then have a very low quality sleep. I am up quite a bit in the night, be it going to the toilet or having a little think of, oh, did I lock the front door? Did I do that thing I thought I needed to do before the end of the day? What, like, tomorrow, that's going to be annoying. And then you realise you're
thinking too much. I think, like, the problem is, because, like, you get into patterns. So I'll have into patterns where maybe I will start getting up, going to the toilet, but then it will happen for a little while, and suddenly you have to kind of get rid of the pattern by not doing it, by breaking it.
Yeah.
But I would say that a lot of it's to do with anxiety, and like, if you wake up, like, sometimes I do wake up in the night, but, like, the main thing is to not make your brain active.
Right.
So I, at university, taught myself to nap really good.
Oh.
Like, I literally can make my brain fall asleep.
I think if I had three wishes, one of them would be the ability to nap. I don't think I've maybe napped 5 times in my life ever.
Oh my God. I like it gets out of hand actually. It's really out of hand for me. Like I can nap. So I trained my brain so that it would switch off really quick. But the way you have to do it is like, have you ever read Northern Lights?
No.
It's like a trilogy. I suggest it to everyone. It's my favourite book of all time. But they have this thing called the athleometer, I think. Anyway, you have to get your mind in a state of kind of in between like conscious reality and like drifting off unconscious. So it's like getting your brain into a place where you're conscious and you know you're conscious, but you're also allowing yourself to drift off into the unconscious.
Oh yeah. Is that when you end up with the falling? You feel like you're falling? Is that just me?
Well, no, because then that's too conscious. Your feelings are too conscious there. Because I think, so if you close your eyes and you lie there, and the main thing is to keep it really still, like everything should be still. I imagine a tree.
Yeah.
And I just think about that tree and I just concentrate all my efforts on that tree.
What kind of tree? Palm?
My tree is like a big oak tree field.
Classic.
Yeah, real classic one. But it could be whatever you want it to be, but it needs to be a still sort of image. And then as you just concentrate on that and think only about that, the tree, you're not thinking about anything else, just the tree, and just you just let yourself breathe into that. And then other things will start, like other like pictures or images might come, and that's the whole dream thing, isn't it,
where
you might have an elephant come in. And the main thing is when these weird other images come in,
oak trees in Africa.
When the other images come in, you need to kind of acknowledge them but not think about them. So you need to kind of go, they're there, and something else there, and then something else is there. And then suddenly all these things are just kind of there, but you're not kind of thinking. You don't go, oh, there's a monkey. Oh, let me think about the monkey. No, you just go, monkey, cool, people's feet. And then essentially what happens is once
monkeys
you go with
cool,
it.
Cool, people's feet. What is this tree?
Well, it's like the beginning of dreams, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
It's so hard to explain
Well, no, I think I think you took people on a little visual journey there. I like to think some people have fallen asleep now. If our podcast is good for anything, it's for making people's brains inactive.
it's hot in here, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Oh, reminiscent of
I'm
the
in
car
a knitted
park.
Dress.
People will remember the tipping point where it gets too hot to cast. too hot to pod. Do you like look? Do you have a rule about looking at your phone before bed? Do you try and not look at your phone?
Airplane mode.
100%. What do you mean? But also, because some people say, you should not look at your phone for half an hour before bed. You should do half an hour of reading. Do you just go, you just lie down and it's all good?
Yeah, like I don't look at my phone for ages before. I'm not like a phony person.
Yeah, you're not.
So I would say like, I would absolutely, if I was going to say, if someone was having trouble sleeping, I would say, don't even put your phone in the bedroom.
Okay.
Like, I know you need to have an alarm, but like, I would absolutely agree to that mentality. Airplane mode, 100%. I wouldn't even have it like charging. Like next to your bed. Like I mean, I'm a really easy sleeper. And I would say read a book for like 15 minutes and have a chamomile tea. And also, like, I suppose I'm pretty chilled. I don't worry about things in some ways. So
these are all good tips. So have a chamomile tea, have a read. I'm terrible at reading. I read the same page before bed every night, basically.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because I just like, stare into space.
I think the main thing is to be relaxed about it. Because I think once you get het up about it, like you're right, it's so difficult. I've met so many people. I remember seeing a guy for a while who couldn't have anyone in his bed because, like, he was such a bad sleeper and it just, like, absolutely, it didn't go anywhere because of this, really.
Because you just could two different ends of the
absolutely,
spectrum.
Like, you just
you're
pop
the
me
sleep
anywhere.
Queen. Yeah.
So I think the main thing is about keeping it simple and not worrying about things and go for a run or a swim.
Right before or...?
That makes you really sleepy.
I'm worried about getting my heart rate up if I go for a run before bed.
No, if you go for like 8 o'clock and went to bed at 9:30, your body would be really tired. Your body's then tired, which will make your mind tired.
Okay, this is all basic. I've been told this before, but maybe I should start doing it. So do some exercise. Go
swimming's
home.
Amazing for that because it makes you exhausted because it's all about your whole body.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely would recommend that.
Go for a swim, get home, have a bit of whatever, soup.
Just wind down,
Wind down. Get rid of that phone, have a chamomile tea, read a book.
If you're worrying about stuff, people say write it down. I think that's probably quite good.
Write it down.
As in, like, say you wake up in the night worries. And you're worrying, right? You write it down, you can worry about it later.
Okay, maybe I'll get a pen and paper for the bed.
Yeah, definitely.
So hopefully the fan won't blow it away.
I mean, I still can't believe you have this fan. It's like a blanket.
I mean, it's very much run in parallel to me being single for the last 11 years. It hasn't come up.
No.
But maybe that is one of the reasons.
Do you think, like, because obviously I've been single a little while too, and I've tried to make myself so accommodating as a sleeping partner. but then I also actually, do you know, this is a really good point. Like, a lot of my friends who are with partners, they say how much it disrupts you having someone else in the bed.
Really?
And like, I wonder if that would be an issue too.
Am I going to regret, like the guy who was heckling the women who now regrets seizing the golden era of sexism, am I going to look back on my years of singlehood and this could have been my golden age of sleep?
Yeah, or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe you just need someone in there just to kind of give you a little cutch.
Tell me it's all going to be okay.
It's all going to be okay.
And say, get off the phone. Stop looking at that phone.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to stop doing that, mate. And write a list and also go for a run.
Yeah, I mean, I'm terrible. I'm just like, you're like, I'm just like staring at my phone, looking at like just crap, you know, like.
But this is why I become so unprepared to these podcasts, because I'm not that person that looks at their phone like that, which I maybe, you know, should be a bit more.
I think we've all come out of this podcast wanting to be a bit more like you, Sophie. Like, people are listening, going, this is a woman who goes and attacks, like, sexists on the street. She doesn't bite a lip. can sleep at the drop of a hat. It's like 3-2.
But he's also sweating in a knitted dress in the back of a van that she lives out of.
This is like, realise, but you've fallen asleep twice during this podcast. I've edited it, so...
Live on the road with Sophie.
Yeah, I've just dropped in clips of your laughter when actually you've been sneezing.
It's just life on the road when I'm sort of like in between napping, I'm fighting, I'm like a heroine. I'm like the napping heroine who fights against builders
That would be my superpower, the napper. Well, anyway, I think I've got some really good tips here. I think this is going to be a task force system.
Yeah, sorry if I sound... Do I sound a bit preachy boasting about my sleeping habits?
Not preachy, but I think there will be people being like, fuck, I wish I had...
Do you know what? But I'll be absolutely up for you emailing me. And if you want me any more tips, and I can take you through my meditation process to get you to sleep.
Well, that is a great segue into, how to contact us. This might be the news at gmail.com. Ask Sophie.
I'm happy to do that video. I'll tell you how to. You know, I feel really passionately about sleep. I don't know if you've got that, but I really passionately.
Well, it's a great person to speak to. I'm going to call the doctor back. But yeah, email us, message us on Facebook. We've got 100% response rate on Facebook.
And we got a 0% response rate on the email, though. Has anyone ever emailed you?
Once. But it was
someone we knew.
Someone we knew, just throwing us a bone, really.
Yeah.
But, and also the Facebook 100%. Right, I mean, we got one message, so...
Okay, cool.
Sometimes you just don't... People are so busy enjoying this podcast, they don't have any questions. They have questions by the end. We've covered everything. We've given them too much information.
All over it, like a bloody rash.
Well, anyway, the van has warmed up. It is... well, you probably need a nap. And
I've actually got pins and needles in one of my arms.
Ironically, my arm has fallen asleep.
Yeah, mine's shaking.
Anyway, thank you, Sophie, for a wonderful podcast. And thank you, listeners, for checking in. See you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to This Might Be The News. If you enjoyed this week's episode, then we would love it if you shared it with all your friends. Even better would be reviewing it on iTunes, which will help other people find us. Cheers!